Yesterday, Sayadawji spoke about anupassana. Anupassana means repeated observation, observing again and again. When we observe the physicality that arises, when we observe and know it repeatedly as kaya, this is kaya nupassana. In the mind, body mind, there are feelings, vedana, good and bad, that arise. And to observe them every time they arise is vedana nupassana. There may be pleasant feelings, there may be unpleasant feelings, such as itching, aching, tightness, numbness, things that are hard to bear. And whenever those arise, observing them is vedana nupassana. And there are many types of consciousness that can arise. The mind connected with greed or lobha, the mind connected with anger or dosa, the scattered mind, the calm mind, or one could say many types of good consciousness or bad consciousness. So various types of mind arise, and observing them when they arise is citta nupassana. And then there's everything else. The various things that occur, especially wanting good things to see, wanting good things to smell, taste, touch, or feelings of resentment, hatred, laziness, doubting. So there are many natural phenomena that can occur. And every time one of these arises, observing them is called Dhamma Nupassana. So there are four types of objects, four basic types of objects that arise due to causes. And this is what we observe. And sometimes there's a bit of kaya that that arises, we see it. Sometimes a feeling, sometimes a consciousness. Sometimes one of the various things, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and so on. The whole body is the place where we observe. It's our area of observation. And what arises in this, in our mind body, is the object that we observe. What arises from moment to moment. And observing these arising objects is called anupassana. Repeated observation. For this, we need to have combined mental forces. We can't just perform this repeated observation in a haphazard manner. If we look at something just quickly, it's not clear what it is. That a quick look is not enough for us to know. We have to focus when we look at something, look steadily, and then it will become clear what it is that we're looking at. So there are four types of objects, four large fields of observation, nikaya, physicality, vedana, feeling, citta, mind, and other various objects. And within these, when a new object arises, we can't just take a glance at it. We have to look repeatedly with focus in order to have this repeated observation, to see it clearly. The Buddha described what the essence is of this anupassana, repeated observation. And he used three words, Atapi sampajano satima. So there's atapi, one has to have energy. Well, what does this mean? What type of energy do we need? What type of effort? Satima, there needs to be sati. What type of sati do we need to have? And having this, having the power of effort and the power of sati, what else is included with this power of sati? And when we have these powers, what is it that we know? What do we come to know? So Seyadoji will explain what these three words, atapi, sampajano, and satima. In the world, there are various views, meaning various like viewpoints when we look at, things that you can see. And if you don't look at this, at the view, then you won't see. Without looking, there's no seeing. So therefore, we have to look. And if we're going to look in order to see, we need to look directly at this view that we want to see, this thing that we want to see. And we also need to focus. We need to be steady when we look. So especially when we're looking at something that is very subtle, we'll only be able to do this with a focused type of looking. If there's something that we want to see that we can't see with the naked eye, we use something like a magnifying glass, or we use glasses, or a microscope, or a telescope. And this is the sort of thing we have to do in the practice. We have to look with focus. Only if one looks will one see. So for example, the rising occurs. It becomes stiff, or it becomes tense, vibrates, relaxes. And if one doesn't focus on that, then one won't see these things. And if one just glances quickly too, one won't see, or one looks doesn't look straight on. So one has to understand that looking is one thing, focusing on the object in a concentrated way, and seeing is another. So looking and seeing are two different things. In order to know the nature of kaya, of the physical phenomena, we have to apply energy. We have to generate mental power. So without application of energy, effort to see the object, sati won't arise. And without sati, there won't be any collectedness of mind. Without collectedness of mind, there won't be any knowledge, any knowing. So in order to know, we need observation, that's one part of it, and what we come to know is another thing. The Buddha used the word atapi. That refers to a person. Atapi means a person. But it's a person who has atapa. So this atapa is application of ardent effort. This applied ardent effort to observe the object has to be present. One can't be casual or cool in applying effort. There shouldn't be any sluggishness. The effort should be enthusiastic, ardent, and brisk, not slow or sluggish. And this is what is shown by the word atapa. To get the mind to stick on the object, on the rising. One has to make effort to get the mind there as soon as the rising arises, to get the mind to stick to the falling as soon as it arises. One has to make effort immediately to get the mind there. One can't just make effort once. One has to do this every single time the abdomen rises, every single time it falls. So we always need this ardent effort. If we have one rising or falling per second, then in 1 minute there will be 60 risings and fallings. So as often as the rising or falling occurs, there should be the effort to observe it. For this, we can't be cool and casual. One has to have this heartfelt, ardent effort, burning effort. One has to be quick. And very importantly, one must not think about it. What's going to arise? Why is it going to arise? What's it going to look like? If one thinks about anything, one will miss the rising. So when the rising arises, one has to apply energy immediately to get the mind to stick to the object. And each time, each moment of applying effort like this, when considered individually, is not very much. But when this is done many times, when there are many, many moments of applied effort, its power grows. And this becomes arada virya, so applied effort. Sorry. So what happens is that the energy that we're applying grows each time we apply the effort, and it gains momentum. So when our mental energy has gained momentum, then one is free of the, it said, arado viryo sakobe kwe paviveto papakehi akusalehi damehi. The person who has mental energy that has momentum is free of these low and degrading, unwholesome dhammas. And therefore, one dwells happily. At present, we're applying effort in order to overcome laziness. So people tend to like comfort. People have the nature that they tend to be a bit lazy and want comfort. So we have to overcome this laziness. And this is done by applying continual effort. By applying continual effort, one overcomes the unwholesome dhammas, the akusala dhammas, that are led by laziness. So having overcome laziness, then one gains ease and comfort. This is the power of virya, or energy. When we apply our mental energy, our virya like that, one time per second, in 1 minute, there will be 60 moments of virya. In 5 minutes, there will be 300 moments of virya. And in 1 hour, 3,600. So this is what is called arada virya. And it's by doing this, our virya is gradually advancing, is progressing bit by bit. Kusita means a lazy person. It's someone who has either weak mental energy or none at all. And for someone who is kusita or lazy, the laziness is very thick. It's like a thick layer. And the mind has no control. So it associates with things that cause lobha or greed. It associates with things that cause dosa or anger. And without control, then every seeing, every hearing, every smelling, tasting, touching becomes a cause for greed to arise, or becomes the cause for dosa, anger, to arise. But now, with applied effort to note every rising and falling, the effort, moments of effort, are connected one by one after another. And then the laziness is reduced. It's no longer thick. And then the mind becomes clean, and it's as though the clean mind is just lining up one after another, occurring one after another. One can see this. Applying effort many, many times. Applying effort to make the mind, to make the mindfulness stick to the object. When we do that, we come to possess that effort. We come to possess that atapavirya, that ardent effort. And so that the person who possesses that type of energy is called in Pali atapi. One who possesses this ardent energy. So coming to possess this type of mental energy is a bit like going to work and getting paid. When we go to work and work, we bring home money, and that money is ours. We own it. If we work, we get some appropriate salary. So that we own that. We possess that. We don't get it if we don't work. So just like a worker gains the money, earns money and then comes into possession of it through working, so too one comes to possess virya because of one's work to observe the object. We come to possess virya not by thinking about what we're going to do. We come to possess it by working, by applying energy to make the mind stick to the arising object. And when we are able to do this, this is called possessing virya or atapi. When we apply ardent effort to observe the rising and the falling every time they occur like that, will sati be absent? No. It follows every time effort is applied. Every time ardent effort is applied, sati sticks to the rising. It sticks to the falling, to whatever, to the extent that we apply effort to observe, sati will follow and stick to the object. So consider this sati, this quality of sati. It prevents kilesas from entering the mind. The mind that has sati, that is connected with sati, is protected. Lobha, greed, and dosa, anger, can't enter the mind. This is the quality of rekha. Sati protects the mind. And it keeps the kilesas from entering. It keeps them from entering, and then it blocks them so that they can't get in further. So when the mind is like this, it becomes secure, and this is called goti. So at that time, no lobha, greed, or dosa, anger, moha, delusion, can enter one's stream of consciousness, one's mind. how good this is. Sati has this power. When the rising arises, one applies effort right at the moment that it arises, and sati sticks to the rising. When the falling arises, one applies effort right at the very moment, and sati sticks to the object. This mind is falling collectedly on the object, not missing it, not wandering. The sati sticks to the object because of our applied effort. And the mind falling collectedly on the object is samadhi. This is momentary concentration, kanika samadhi, on every rising when it arises, on every falling when it arises. Kanika samadhi is occurring, falling calmly and collectedly on that object. At this time, one is free of wanting to see good things, wanting to hear good things, smell good things, taste, touch, and so on. And there's no feelings of resentment. There's no there's no movement due to any type of disturbance from the kilesas. So with 10 notes like this, the mind is falling collectively 10 times on the object. With 60 notings, the mind is falling collectively on the object 60 times. And each individual noting is not very much at all. But when these are all gathered together, one after another, they gain an amazing power. All the kilesas become driven out of the mind. The mind is completely clean. The kilesas have been overcome. This is bhavana, clean bhavana. This is bhavana, which is mental development. Rising and falling are just names. The nature of the rising is stiffness, tension. The nature of falling is displacement, relaxation. These all are caused by the air element. When the mind observes the rising and the mind falls on the quality of stiffness, one knows the stiffness, and this is knowing what is really there. When one observes the falling, the mind falls on the quality of relaxation. One knows this quality of relaxation, which is really there. This is not, there's no misperception involved in this. There's no mistake in this type of knowing. This is knowing correctly. Because of applied effort, sati arises and sticks to the object, and the mind falls collectively on the object, bringing about knowing. One knows what is really there, and this is called sampajanya. If we take the two parts of this word, san and janya, it means to know correctly. One knows the rising correctly when one sees like this. And one knows completely. One knows the rising completely. One knows it not through others, but by oneself. These all are meanings of sanjanya. So this knowing, too, is distinct. So one sees that stiffness is one thing, tension is another thing, and so on. One sees how things are different. One sees objects in a distinct way. So this is knowing distinctly. Knowing distinctly like this is also special. It's special and better than, for example, theoretical knowledge gained from books or reflective knowledge that we gain from thinking about something. So the Buddha used the word sampajanya to describe this type of clear knowing for oneself completely and correctly. His use of words was very appropriate. In the moment of knowing in this way, the rising, the falling, whatever object is being observed is in focus. The mind is aimed accurately, and this is the quality of vitakka. Initially, one has to make effort to aim the object, and it becomes accurate. And this is vitakka. The mind falls collectedly on the object. This is samadhi, or concentration. And knowing clearly is sampajanya. This knowing that is called sampajanya is also called anupassana. And what makes it up are these four factors of virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. If one wants to know the physical phenomena that is arising in one's body, whatever arises, one has to apply effort repeatedly, time and time again. Doing this, sati occurs. With sati, there comes to be samadhi, collectedness of mind. Initially, one has to aim the mind. One has to be doing this as well in order to observe the objects. And when one does these things, apply effort so that sati occurs, samadhi develops, and one also is aiming the mind accurately, knowledge, what we will come to know correctly. And this is anupassana. At the moment anupassana is occurring, what is the benefit that is gained? Sieroji will talk about this tomorrow. If one observes in this way, making the effort to observe every rising, every falling, and whatever object arises, with the mental powers described, with effort and accurate aim, one can come to see in this way. But if one is careless, if one takes things lightly, that means that there won't be enough effort. And without effort, with insufficient effort, there won't be mindfulness, sati. Without sati, collectedness of mind will be scattered, will become unraveled, and we won't know. And thus one will lose. Those who work with continual effort to observe the arising object possess these qualities, possess the qualities involved in anupassana. Sieroji urges all the yogis seriously that in the time you have, however many days remain in your retreat, try to develop these qualities that are needed for anupassana. That's all for today.